And you know that we are in the series called The Bible. And tonight is the third time we deal with this issue. And the topic for tonight is armor. Armor is things that we put on to protect ourselves. So if the Bible is an armor, what is it protecting us from? That's the issue we wanted to explore tonight. As a Christian today, do you feel like you are being marginalized? When you think about Christian values, some of the things we immediately relate to, maybe people will think that you're outdated, or Christians are very narrow-minded. And some of the views we hold, people will say they are bigotry. They are just arrogant. Have you heard of some of these comments about Christian and Christian values before? What do you think about those? The world tells us and the culture tells us a lot of ideas. Let me share some of them with you. See whether you can resonate with them. Well, as long as I don't harm anybody, I am free to live a life that I see fit. Or, I can be true to myself if I am true to my deepest desires and dreams. When you listen to these ideas more clearly, you find out the underlying narrative is, I want to be independent from God. I want to live an independent life. I am the one to decide my destiny. I am the one to decide my own identity. What I like, what I want defines me. That's why you probably grow up with a lot of people that come to church when they are kids. They come because the parents are coming. So they come, but once they have the freedom, they can drive, they stop coming because they felt like this faith is no longer relevant. They can find values, satisfaction, fulfillment in their life outside of church. Have you know anybody like that? I wanted to tell you that there is a spiritual battle going on. It is an intense battle, but very subtle. We have lost a lot of Christians to this battle, and those Christians don't even know that they lose in that battle. The Bible told us that in this spiritual battle, the enemy is Satan or the devil, and he is trying to use all these values, culture, to tell us lies. The most dangerous part is these lies are commonsensical. When you hear it, it sounds right. I like how Neil Anderson sums it up in his book, The Bondage Breaker. I want to quote him. He said, Satan's ultimate lie is that you are capable of being the God of your own, the God of your own life. And his ultimate bondage is the attempt to live as though his lie were true. Satan is out to usurp God's place in your life. Every temptation is an endeavor by him to get you to live your life independent of God. Whenever you focus on yourself instead of Christ, or you prefer material and temporal values over spiritual and eternal values, the tempter has succeeded. Satan is out there to deceive us, and this lie is you can live your life independent of God. Whether it is manifested in the form of ignorance, neglect, indifference, denial, hatred, rebellion, as long as it lures you away from God, you want to live a life independent of God, Satan succeeded. A lot of people, they say, oh, but we are Christians. But when you look at their life carefully at a practical level, you realize that God does not have an impact on their life decisions and conduct. In that case, the devil also succeeded. They lie to themselves, thinking they are Christians, but they live a life in practical terms independent of God. When we choose our boyfriend or girlfriend, or we choose our careers, or when we choose the subjects we want to study in college, or even financial options, and when we consider all these things, just considering whether I like it or not, in that case, the tempter also succeeded. Let me read the first sentence again. Satan's ultimate lie is that you are capable of being the God of your own life, and his ultimate bondage is to attempt to live as though his lie were true. So if you believe in this lie, if you have no protection against this lie, you will live your entire life as if God does not exist, as if God has no hold on your life decisions. This is very dangerous. It is an intense but very subtle battle. It's very easy to lose. So if we only rely on ourselves, I can guarantee you, you will probably lose. We know so many friends around us. They already lost the battle. They stopped coming to church, and it's a struggle to just invite them back here. And so how do we expose Satan's lie? Today, I want to take you to a passage where Satan is trying to lie to Jesus. And in front of Jesus, Satan is no longer subtle. He just encountered him. And there is a one-on-one battle between Satan and Jesus. Satan does not need to use the culture, ideas to tempt Jesus away from God, but he is directly speaking to God, lying to him. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4. Before Jesus began his ministry, he went to Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. And then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Satan is very crafty. He came to Jesus at a time when Jesus is hungry, when Jesus is vulnerable. And when you look at his lie carefully, it's not a sin to eat, right? Eating bread is not a sin. Satan is not even tempting Jesus to sin. But what is this temptation? What is this lie really about? He is asking Jesus, "Why don't you provide for your own need? Why do you wait for God? You waited for 40 days, and he's not even provided with a bread for you. Why don't you take matter into your own hands and turn the stone to become bread? There's nothing wrong with it. You are hungry. You are built that way. Satisfy what your body is telling you." This is the temptation, and this is the lie. This first temptation tempts us to take matters into our own hands instead of waiting for God's timing. And so how did Jesus expose the lie? He used the word of God. Jesus told him, "Man shall not live by bread alone." In fact, Jesus is quoting from the scriptures. It's from Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, 3. "Man does not live on bread alone," and there's a following verse as well, "but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So why of all the scriptures, why does Jesus quote this one? You need to understand the context of Deuteronomy in order to know why Jesus used this verse to expose Satan's lie. This verse reminded Israelites in the wilderness where they have to rely on God's provision during those 40 years of wandering. And you remember that Israelites, they always grumble about food. And so God had a provision for them. God did provide bread for them, and it's called manna. And there is a specific way you can eat manna. God gives you instructions about you cannot collect on the Sabbath, and you cannot collect more than 2 days. So basically, if you want to eat, you need to follow God's word very closely. If you don't follow God's word, you don't even have food. The manna will rot and you cannot eat it. So Jesus is using this verse to show Satan, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Even in that context, the true bread, the true fulfillment and nourishment is not the physical food. The training is whether you rely on God, whether you trust him, that he will provide according to his time. So you do not need to take matter into your own hands. You do not need to accumulate a lot of manna to make sure for the next week you don't need to go out to collect it. Jesus used the word of God to protect himself from Satan's lies. Being the Son of God is not about using his power to advance his own agenda. or to use it for his own purposes. Jesus is supposed to obey his Father. And so, how do we use the Bible to expose the Satan's lie? When you start to read the Bible, you will start to realize God's intention for you is good. And God always provides. He promised us we will not in want. So God is the one who provides for us. But when we look at the world, every generation faces the temptation to look elsewhere than God for sustenance. When is the last time you doubt, does God really provide for me? I remember when, during the times, a lot of people start to date in a church. And then a lot of girls will say, oh, should I date a non-Christian? Because, you know, there's not a lot of guys in the church. So they start to take matter into their own hands and go outside of church to find the life partners. There's a lot of lies that Satan tells. One of the lies is he only tells you part of the truth. If you want to get married by a certain age, you need to start dating at a certain age. When there is no suitable people in the church, you should take matter into your own hands and go elsewhere to find that person. But then Satan never tells you the second part of that lie. When you start to date someone whose faith is so different from you, have you ever imagined the heartache that you are going to endure? Have you ever imagined when you have this spiritual download from God you want to share with your most intimate partners? He had no clue what you're talking about. Have you ever think about every Sunday or every Saturday, you need to debate where we should go? Can I come to church? And if you eventually get married to a non-Christian, that becomes a life issue. How are you going to spend your worship day every week of your life until the length of your entire marriage? What if you have kids? Then what are you supposed to do with your children? So you know, you see, Satan only tells you part of the truth. Hurry up, take matters into your own hand, go find somebody. But he never tells you the other side of the truth. Let's move on to the second temptation. And the devil took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and the glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you will worship me, it will all be yours. Satan is showing Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, all the glories. You know what? God promises Jesus the same thing in the Gospel of Luke. God promised Jesus will have all the authority on earth. But now Satan is saying, I can give you this right now if you worship me. The way for Jesus to get all the authority through God's way is to go through the cross. It's a downward movement. It's a path of pain, suffering, and humiliation. But now Satan is telling to him, wait, I give you the same thing. But you don't need to take that path towards suffering. Just worship me. Jump right there. You will get the authorities. So did you see the temptation? How tempting is this lie? Jesus resists this temptation, and he resists to seek power by worshiping Satan. He answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Again, Jesus is quoting the scriptures to respond to Satan's lie. This time he quote also from the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus, from his knowledge as the Son of God, he know where he is going to get this power. He also know that that power can only be obtained through the way of suffering, through the way of the cross. And also he exposed the lie. The Satan's power is temporary. What Satan can give to Jesus is only that God allowed him for a short period of time. And that is a shabby substitute of what God is promising Jesus. So if Jesus follow along and fall into this temptation, maybe he's going to get the authority of the world, but that's a shabby substitute of the real glory that God promises him. So Jesus again used the word of God to protect himself from Satan's lie. Satan is giving a false promise to Jesus. Jesus is able to discern that promise is true because of his knowledge of God through the study of the scriptures. Today, Satan lies to us in the same way. He promises us, you can find fulfillment, you can find satisfaction, you can find happiness outside of the church. Look at a lot of people out there. They are having parades. They are happy. They don't need to spend the weekend serving in the church. They don't need to spend time. It's Mid-Autumn Festival tonight. They don't need to spend time in the church. They just go out and have mooncake. They can have all the fun they have. You can do everything you want outside of church. So why do you still come back? Do you think you will miss out? You know what? After you retire, when you have nothing else to do, you can go to church to serve. The church will always be there. But when you are young and when you have all the things you can try out, why do you spend all the time in the church? So Satan's always promised you something better is happening outside of the church. Do you believe in him? Or do you believe in God that all the satisfaction and abundant life can only be found in the words of God, in the Bible, in Jesus himself, and in the church? Do you believe that? If your faith is not strong enough, then you will be tempted by Satan. And many people believe in Satan's lie and try to find satisfaction outside of the church. If you have a chance to talk to a lot of people who you felt like they have reached the goal for their life, maybe they have made a lot of money, maybe they have built an empire of their own business, but when you really talk to them, you have this immense sense of emptiness. They have a lot of things, they have a lot of money, but they don't even know how to spend it. And you know everyone each day, you can only spend that much, you know. And so you have spent all your efforts to earn so much, but at the end, you only need a little. And with all that you have this sense of emptiness. You don't know where else can you find the real satisfaction. Let's move on to the third and final temptation. And then Satan took Jesus to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And the next one, Satan quotes scripture. Satan knows the Bible. And he say, God will command his angels concerning you. God will guard you. On their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Satan adopts a different strategy. Okay, Jesus is not going to be tempted by power through the easy way. Jesus is not tempted by a bread. Maybe Jesus would be tempted by the voice of God. So Satan this time used the word of God to tempt him. Doesn't the Bible say this? Just jump down. He will protect you. Satan is very crafty. He knows how to manipulate the words of God. Psalm 91 is very fitting in this context. You see, Satan brings Jesus to Jerusalem, into the temple. The temple symbolizes security, God's presence. You are in a very safe place. It's the refuge of God's people. Psalm 91 is exactly about that. Psalm 91 is addressed to people who live in the shelter of the Most High. And so the temple is a very suitable scene to quote Psalm 91. And Psalm 91 asserts God is a God of deliverance, a God of refuge, a God of safety, a God of rescue. He is a God who protects. So if you believe in God, try out his promises. That's what he said. How can you know that his promises are true? Jump down and you will know. He will protect you. Then you prove that God is good. Have we heard similar temptation before or similar lies before? If God is with you, no suffering will ever come upon you. So if you suffer, God rejected you. How many of you have prayed for a friend who had maybe cancer, prayed for a long time for healing, but that healing never comes? That person dies. Sometimes that person is even a Christian. During those times, have you ever doubted, is God really good? If He's good and powerful, why doesn't He save my friend? Why doesn't He heal that person in an instant? So if there is suffering, God doesn't really care. He's not to be trusted. Have you ever heard temptation and lies like that? How did Jesus respond? This time, Jesus showed us how to read the Bible in a way that protects us. He read the Bible in a context, in its broader context, and undercut Satan's reading. Jesus answered Satan, saying, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." That's it. And then the devil had ended every temptation. He departed from Jesus until the next time. When Satan used the Bible, he quotes the Bible like using it as a proof text. Oh, Psalm 91, God protects. So if you suffer, that means God is not able to protect you. But then in Psalm 91, he misread what Psalm 91 is really about. This is a psalm that promised protection from every threat and fear and danger. It's not that kind of protection, but it is a protection that God's presence will be with you in all your sufferings. So basically, it's not a protection from, it's a protection in. So when Satan is trying to say is, if there is a suffering, if God does not protect you, don't trust Him. But Jesus is saying, God asked me to trust Him because in all my sufferings, in all the hard places that I'm going through, God's promise is He will not forsake you. He will not abandon you. That is God's promise. Jesus knows Psalm 91 in context. That's why He can resist this simplistic interpretation. Suffering means God is not there, means God does not care. Rather, Jesus read the Bible in context and know how to protect Himself from these type of lies. Jesus used the Word of God to protect Himself again from Satan's lie. He exposed and He recognized Satan's schemes of deception. When Satan tried to tempt Jesus about God cannot be trusted, he is still using the same strategy today. He wants us to deflect from our commitment to God. Sometimes when you are at a stage where you felt like nobody ever understands what I'm going through, even God does not know, that's the scheme of Satan. He wants to isolate you, thinking that you are the only person in that dark hole and no one is able to pull you out. That's his usual scheme to deceive you. But then Jesus is showing us there is a way out. In this passage, we see that Jesus demonstrates how He used the Word of God to fight against the devil's schemes, to prevail in this spiritual battle. It's not, even though Jesus is very powerful, everything that Satan talks about, Jesus has the power to achieve them, but He never used that power. In this case, He chose to use the Word of God. He's showing His people the Word of God is something that we can hold on to as our armor to protect ourselves from Satan's lie. So people may be thinking, I'm not like Jesus. I'm not the Son of God. But Jesus is showing you a strategy that you can also use. That's the Word of God to protect yourself from Satan's deception. So the key is, how do we train ourselves to use the Word of God to protect ourselves from Satan's lie? Well, this is the most important message that I want you to get tonight. The first thing is read the Bible regularly. You may think, oh, Pastor Cindy, I heard you talk so much and you give me such a simple tool to defend myself from Satan. Yeah, it's simple. That's why everyone can do it. Read it regularly. Did you know that Jesus read the Word of God regularly? Even though He's Son of God, I think He had God's Word ingrained in His heart, but He's still involved in all the tradition of a Jewish, where they have readings every day, all the seasons of life. They read the Bible, they familiarize themselves with the Bible. So today, if Satan stands in front of you, how many scriptures can you quote? probably only a few. But then Jesus have all the scriptures in his head, in his heart, and he know which one is the suitable one to expose Satan's lie. If we want to be at that stage that we will be able to discern what is true, what is false, the first thing is you need to know the truth. And the only way to need the truth, to know the truth, is to read the Bible regularly. Have that truth ingrained into your head and move it down into your heart. Second, read the Bible in context. Satan knows the Bible very well. He knows when to use which scripture to trick you and to lie to you. He used scripture to tempt you to doubt God. God cannot be trusted. All the protection he promised you in the Bible is fake. Just look at your own life. Just look at what you've been going through. All these promises are fake. Read the Bible in context. Jesus reads Psalm 91 in context. Therefore, he knows it's a protection in, not protection from. How do we read the Bible in context? Read a lot of it. When I was very young, I come to the church. We have this memorizing Bible verse. Sometimes you memorize one verse and you thought you know the Bible, but you never bother to check where that verse is. So usually after that verse, there is a scripture. Which book is from? Which chapter? Which verse? Get into the habit. You go back to that book, read the text before, read the text after. Put it back into context. Then you know how you can use that word, how that word can bless your life. So read the Bible in context. If you are a serious Bible reader, get those study Bible where they give you the historical context. What is the situation at that time? Why is the Bible author write this book in this way? What are the problems they are dealing with? Read the Bible in context. And finally, and most importantly, from reading the Word of God, you will get to know the God behind the Word. A lot of people read the Bible. Many scholars in seminary that I know, they can memorize the entire New Testament in Greek, memorize the whole thing. I can't even memorize the entire Bible in English. They memorize it in Greek, but they do not believe in God. Reading the Bible is not equivalent to trusting the God behind the Word. If you wanted to be like Jesus, able to tell the truth or able to expose lies, you have to know the God behind the Bible. Otherwise, reading the Bible is just information. It never transforms you. When we know the God of the Bible, your life will be changed. Have you think about during those three encounters that Jesus has with Satan, there is one very crucial element. He trusts God. He never doubts the goodness of God. When Satan tempts him, God does not provide you food for 40 days. So you should bring some bread for yourselves. Just turn the stone into bread. He's asking Jesus to doubt the goodness of God. God will not provide a spouse for you. God will not let you go into this field of study. God will not give you this offer. He always asks you to doubt the goodness of God. And sometimes when you thought, you know yourself very well, I know what you want. Let me tell you, Satan knows you better than you do, and he knows where to tempt you. But the good news is, God knows you even better, and he provided the Bible to help you to protect yourself from all those lies. So once you get into the habit of reading the Bible, I encourage you not just read it for information. Read until you trust God. Read until you know who that is who give the Word of God to you. Trusting is a practice. Just like the Israelites when they are in the wilderness, you have to trust God. You have to take risk. Slowly trust God. What he tell you, try to practice it in your life. That's the only way to build up your trust in God. So when you start to build up your trust in God, Satan will continue to challenge you. He will continue to send you ideas that is very commonsensical, that looks like that is the truth. But when you get into the knowledge of God, you will have this discernment. You will know the voice of your Heavenly Father, and you will know the voice of the tempter. And at that time, you will be able to use the Bible as an armor to protect yourself from Satan's deception. Please join me in standing and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for you to give your word to us, which enable us to live an abundant life, which also provides a window for you, for us to get to know you. I pray that you will help us to read it, to build up this habit, and I pray that you will reveal yourself to each one of us here. In Jesus' name I pray. Church, I want to bless you with a word of God. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.